Today we're going to be studying a little bit about studying the Bible. And that's our key word, is study. Because there's a big difference between studying and reading Scripture. So we're going to need to take a few moments. And let me tell you, at Faulkner University, I teach a class on College Edge. And what that is to help college students be successful in their studies and in their classes. And one of the things I go over with the students is what works for you. What helps you with your studies? Are you a night owl or are you a morning bird? We all have our time where we can focus a little bit better than other times. So I want you to share with me, just raise of hands, how many of you would consider yourself morning birds? Oh, we have several morning birds. How many of you consider yourself night owls? Yeah, that's me. I'm a night owl person. I can sleep until noon if I wasn't taking care of my great-grandson. But I'm a night owl person. That's when my brain gets into mode where I can study, whether it was working on my degrees or whether it's studying the Bible, it's at night. One thing I like to go over with students, there are so many things about our Christian behaviors that can be built around the individual person. It's not a right or wrong. I think when we can learn to establish that gray area, we're not so quick to be judgmental of people because they don't do things the way we do them. So you have to learn your own self to know when it's best for you to study. The fact that I study at night doesn't make it wrong that you like to study in the morning. The important thing is finding the right time for you. And that's what I tell students, because we all have busy, busy lives. I thought when I retired last August, from the administrative part, I was going to have all this time. I'd be able to do this. And I haven't done any of that on that list. Not yet. But I'm going to, still on the list. I haven't scratched it off. Sometimes, I don't know about you, I'm a list person. And the older I get, the more I need the list so that I can remember what I need to do. And sometimes things on the list kind of have to get moved down because something else had to be done before that. And maybe what's on that list gets moved to the next day and then the next week. That's where I'm at. I'm at 6 months out with some of the things on my list. So it's one of those things we have to set priorities. As just Henrietta mentioned about prayer life, that's what we have to do about our studying. We have to set priorities. How many of you have done the yearly reading of the Bible where every day you read so many chapters or verses in a day so that by the end of the year you've read the entire Bible? I started it 3 or 4 times. Okay, with that, how did you, when you finished at the end of the year, how did you feel about your Bible knowledge? Did you feel like you'd really gained a lot of Bible knowledge? Or it was one of those things you could check off, I did that. And I'm afraid sometimes that's what happens. I would not take away from reading your Bible. That is a very necessary thing. and it is and should be priority. But at the same time, there's the difference between reading and studying. I think the exercises of reading through the Bible helps to create a habit for you to set aside that time for reading. But it may not, you know, you might say, well, I've got 15 minutes right here between the next load of laundry to do, or going to the grocery store, I'll get in here and read this chapter that I'm supposed to read. But it's the mindset that you are going to work toward setting time for reading the scriptures. How many in here like to read? Oh, wow, a lot of you. Well, that's good. I've always wished I was a reader. I'm not. A lot of people at night will get a book to read that helps them relax so that they can go to sleep at night. I'm not one of those. I don't read except the Bible when I read. And that's not a right or a wrong. I wish I was a reader. I think it would help me to read more often and study. But what I have found, I had a friend, she was an elder's wife, and she told me how that her and her husband both liked to read. In fact, she was a college professor. She said, but she liked to read for entertainment. She would get those big, thick, paperback love books, and that's what she liked to read because it was for entertainment. But her husband, who also taught school, he was all about education. So he would only read books that taught him something, you know. And so people read for, even if you are a reader, it's reading different things that draw you into a book. The beauty of the Bible is it can be entertaining and it can be educational. The Bible is a unique book, different from any other book in the world. You know how people write books and then they want to know if it's the bestseller on the top 10 list? The Bible is always number one. Through all the years, it's been number one. It never gets old. And no matter how well you know the Bible, you can always learn something new. Always. Even if it's a verse that you know, as we get older and our life changes, our perspective changes, and what we've heard and what we've read in the past can take on a whole new light because of experiences that's gone on in our life. So that's why several places in the Bible you'll see an exhortation that is repeated throughout the Bible. I don't mind telling you, I have to be reminded over and over. My daughter, she will tell me something. 2 days later, I'll say, now, did you say da 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 da? She'll say, Mom, I said, I'm like, yeah. And in my back of my mind, I'm thinking, I really need to write this down because she's not going to like it if I have to ask her a third time. Which I usually do. She's getting, so she'll text it to me. And that way I have it in writing. I don't have to ask. I'll just wheel through that and find the message. And God knew that we were going to need reminding. So that's why he has repeated things over and over in scriptures, not to make us feel bad, but so that we can hear it over and over and over and know of assurance of what he is telling us. We want to study how to study today. I had a lady friend that years ago, she was a preacher's wife. After 45 years, you know, you can't remember all that. But she used to take scriptures that she was wanting to learn and she wanted to memorize, and she'd write them on index cards or a piece of paper. And she would tape them throughout her house. She would tape them on a window over her kitchen sink so that she could read that while she was washing dishes. She would tape them on the inside of her cabinet door so when she opened the cabinet door, there was a scripture. She would tape them and pin them to curtains. And she would take them in the bathroom and tape them on the mirrors. She had scripture all throughout her house that was taped up there. Now, some might think, well, that would look tacky. Don't ever, ever be ashamed of God's word being throughout your house. And if it helps you, after a while, it's that repeat, repeat, repeat. You find that you're being able to quote some of those scriptures. And when such as times that Henrietta mentioned about, you know, when you're in need to pray, those scriptures are going to be meaningful to you. And then you're going to have those scriptures to give you strength as you pray. So, because we as human beings, and particularly as women, nothing against us, I'm one of them, we want to solve the problems. It's like she said in prayer life, we give it to God and let go. But that's so hard to do. It's what we need to do. There's no doubt. But it's hard for us to do. So when we constantly are reading God's word, it helps us to understand he wants us to give him the burden. He doesn't want us to carry it. That's where his love comes in. But reading the scriptures is what will help us, even with our prayer life. Let me ask you this. It's amazing how many in here own a Bible? Every hand should go up. That sounds crazy. Do you know at Faulkner University, which is a Christian university, how many students come in that do not even own a Bible? They don't know that there's two testaments in the Bible. And probably about 7 or 8 years ago, we decided to give Bibles to all new students. Now, with Faulkner, every 15 credit hours, they have to take a Bible course. That is the hardest course for some of our students. They weren't brought up knowing the Bible, and so they're like children learning the Bible. And this gives them a textbook. Plus, it allows us to select the version they use to make sure that it's an accurate version that they have. And it's one that the instructors are going to use as well so that it coincides with it. So it's hard for us sometimes to understand. When my husband went into the school of preaching back in 1974, he had been Lutheran. His family had been Lutheran. But they really didn't attend. It was that the priest would come out to the house once a year to gather the tithing that had to be. And that was, if they were able to tithe, that made them the Lutherans, you see. So when he went off to Memphis School of Preaching, is where he started his education, he didn't know about Daniel and the lion's den. He didn't know about Genesis. He was a babe in Christ. So we had all these other men that were going to become preachers, and they had been brought up in the church. And the faculty did not realize that Cliff was as ignorant, and I say that lovingly, that he didn't grow up. He didn't have all those little Bible stories that we had had. So we moved to Memphis with a little trailer on the back of our vehicle, and that's all we owned. We just, you know, back in 74, a lot of people was, you know, didn't have what you have today. We got down there. We didn't have a place to stay. We had $100 a month was all we had committed to us. And we moved in with the church secretary. She was able to provide us a bedroom. And we stored all of our little trailer belongings with another student's garage. Talk about faith and prayer. We were there for a couple of months, and Cliff said to me, he said, "I don't think I'm going to be able to do this." He said, "There's so much to learn and so much in the scriptures." And I said, "Nah." I said, "You got me down here. We're down to stay." So we rolled up our sleeves, and he made little cue cards for himself, and he worked hard to get his grades and graduate. Studied, studied, and studied. Our daughter was born while we were in Memphis. He would have to go in another room and study. He didn't get to spend much time with her because he had to do his studies. I find now he can quote a lot of scriptures, but how did he do that? He did it by studying. And I think about us, and I think, I had a woman just a couple of weeks ago say to me, she said, "I wish I could know the Bible like he does." And I wanted to say, you can. You can know the Bible like that. But that devoted time is required. And if the devil knows you and me, he knows, keep you busy. Keep yourself so busy that you don't have time to study, or that you're so tired when you do try to study, it goes in and out and it doesn't stick. And I really believe that's one of the tools of the devil today. Keeping us busy, keeping us going, keeping us doing things so that we don't read God's word. When is the last time, and it may not be for a while, the last time that you wrote a letter to somebody? And I know now we text, we send emails and such, but I want you to look at the Bible as a letter. It's a letter from God to you and me. How do you think God feels, and how would you feel if you wrote a letter to your child and your child said, "Oh, thank you," and then put it on the table and let it collect dust and didn't read it? The best way for me to live my Christian life is to look at, it's not that I don't want to make God angry with me. I don't want to disappoint him. I think there's something about the word disappointment disappointing another person, who had higher expectations of us, how that makes me feel is, I don't want to disappoint him. He gave me a loving book that's going to show me how to live and to show his love for me. And that's what I need. And for me to just put my, sometimes people leave their Bibles in the pew at church, so it'll be there the next time they're there. And my thought is, I wonder if they have a Bible at home that they're studying from, and this is an extra one. Maybe they leave their Bible in their car so that it's there for the next time. But our Bibles are a letter from God that we need to read every day. And the Billy Lambert was here last night, and fabulous lesson. All the years he's preached, but guess what? He still has to study his Bible. So we never reach a point in life that we don't have to study. And for some of us, as myself, when I get older, the more studying I need to do. So let's see. We talked about reading, pick the right time for you to concentrate on focusing and focus on concentrating. Have you ever been reading, whether it's scripture or a book, and you're reading it, but your mind is somewhere else? Have you ever done that? I've done that many a time. And when you do, what do you have to do? You have to reread it and then say, I'm going to focus on the words that's there instead of thinking about this and that and one thing and another. So that's something I want us to do. I want us to focus on concentrating and concentrate on focusing what we're reading when we're reading scripture. Now, it says, you know, we say sometimes, oh, I just don't have the time to read and study the scriptures. But at the same time, how much time do we spend on Facebook or Pinterest or Twitter or watching television? All the distractions that the devil is allowing us to have out there that would keep us from studying the scriptures. So we need to make sure that we are studying the scriptures. As I was going through preparing for this class, I found a book in Cliff's library. Fortunately, we have four bedrooms, so one of them is the library for Cliff. But it is a book from back in 1973, and it's called Toward Spiritual Maturity by Wendell Winkler. And it talks about give attendance to reading, meditating, and studying. It's an excellent one. God wants his word read. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the written word, but they came together and the word was spoken to them. And once a year, they would come together and there was the reading of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the scriptures, but it wasn't like you had the scriptures. It was read to you. And so with that, think about the memory of it, because a lot of it was taught to the children and the next generation through the memory of those that had listened to God's word. Today we are blessed with the word. We have it in writing. So there's no reason for us not. We don't have to go and gather in a place. We don't have to rely upon what the minister says. We have good ministers. We're very fortunate in the Mobile area to have several good ministers. And they can get up and preach us a good lesson. How many of you take notes during the sermon? You know, just jotting down a few words, because you might get distracted or you might wander in thought for a moment while he's speaking, and then you can jot it down and later that day or in the week, review it in your moment of study so that it'll stick a little bit better with you. So that's one thing. And God didn't give his word just to sit and collect dust. God gave it to us to read. He wants us to read it. And think about how it makes him feel when we don't. I'm trying to put a little guilt. That would be me. I have to make myself feel guilty a little bit so that I'll do it more often. But knowing that God has feelings just like we do in many ways, he gets disappointed. He gets sad. When we claim that we are Christians, and yet we don't want to read his word. How sad that is. Okay, the Bible should be read every day, Acts 17:11, a chapter a day. Well, this is not the scripture. A chapter a day keeps Satan away is what it says. Just as our bodies need daily food, our souls need God's word daily. I don't think we value the soul as much as we should. We value our bodies. We go to the doctor. We try to eat healthy. And I don't know about you. You can look at me and tell I don't go without food. Every day I'm going to be eating. Tried the diet thing, and holidays come. You know, that kind of is my excuse. I got off of it. And I'm still looking where I put it because I haven't gotten back on it again. But along with that is our souls, our precious souls. Do you know it doesn't matter if you have a big fancy house, if you have diamonds and jewels, if you have a Cadillac or a big fancy car. There is nothing in this world more valuable than your soul.
Amen.
And we've got to feed it. And that's through prayer and studying God's word. Oh dear, she's giving me the 2-minute sign. Okay, oh dear. You know I love to talk. How should we study the Bible? Okay, let's see. Moving on to another book. One thing I was going to say, there's no set way for you to study the Bible. One thing, go in with a clear mind, and then either, like at Central, we've just started a new study on Bible characters. And currently, we're studying men in the Bible. And we're comparing their faults with how God took it and used it. There is not a single person that God can't use in his kingdom. You think of it, Paul is my inspiration because I think of Paul and the Christian people he killed. Not terrorists or anything, but Christians is what he killed. Think about what he had to live with the rest of his life. Chief of sinners. And yet God took that drive, that energy of his, and turned it around to use for good. So one way to study a Bible is study Bible characters. You know, in particular with women, if you lived in Bible times, would you be one of the women that God named in the Bible?
Oh, how precious. Amen. How precious.
You think even the bad ones, Jezebel, oh, yeah. Some of those that didn't have a great reputation, the fact that their name was in the Bible. But think of all the godly women there were that their name wasn't in the Bible. So think about yourself when you're studying God's Word. Another way, Bible characters, some people like to study topics. Like, pick a topic. In most Bibles in the back, it'll have a division off. If that's the way you like to study, is a topic. Prayer would be excellent. And just read all the scriptures on prayer.
Right.
All the scriptures on repentance. All the scriptures on salvation. Understand there isn't a, this is the way it has to be done.
Right.
Because it's not. Now, this is a good book. It's questions and answers from the Bible. There's 100 questions. Now, I will tell you in the back are all the answers. You want to rip them out and throw them, hide them from yourself. Because you want to look up the questions to learn. So there are a lot of help books out there for you that you can use. Oh, I didn't even get through half of this. But know that the first thing to establish priority in studying, and there's a difference between reading and studying, making time at your best focus time to read. If you choose to do characters of the Bible, whether you choose to do subjects, or read a book, one book, study who the author is, who are they writing to? Because all of that can help